Today's Bible lesson is entitled, Ways to Quench the Fiery Trial. Ways to Quench the Fiery Trial. And as we go through this lesson, each one of the things we will spell out the word trial as we go through this lesson. Now, I'd like us to turn to begin our study today to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the words of Almighty God say this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So the Apostle Peter here reminds you and I that the fiery trial should be no stranger to the Christian. I believe sometimes when someone gets saved, they think that all their problems and troubles that they had before being saved were going to go away. Well, that's not the case, amen. And that's why it's so important when someone gets saved to disciple them and tell them what they got to expect so it won't take them by surprise. And so the Apostle Peter is telling us, don't be surprised by the fiery trials that should come your way as you walk the Christian walk, amen. In fact, if you're living for God, then you should expect the fiery trials. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul says about if you're living for God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse number 12. Notice with me here. The words of God say, Yea, in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, here it is, shall suffer persecution. So there's no doubt about it. And of course, Paul knew what he was talking about. Because as we read the Pauline epistles and we read about Paul, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, we see all the persecution that he went through because he was living for Christ, living a godly life. So you and I, as Christians, if you're truly living for Almighty God, you got to expect persecution. You got to expect the fiery trials. So what I hope to do today in our lesson is to look together at some ways that you and I can overcome the fiery trial. One way to overcome the fiery trial is trust. So we see the letter T in the word trial, trust, trust. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. We need to go to Psalms chapter 37 with me. And once you get to Psalm 37, I want us to look at verse number 40, Psalm 37, verse number 40, the words of Almighty God say this, And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. And here it is. Notice, why is the Lord going to help you and I and deliver us from the wicked and save us? Because they trust in him. See, trusting in the Lord, amen, is one of the ways to overcome the fiery trial. When trials come, it's like we forget everything that we've read in the scriptures. or been taught by a godly pastor or a Sunday school teacher. Amen. It's like all forgotten. You know, we get all flustered and worked up and everything. But here we have a promise in the words of Almighty God that if you trust in Him, that He's going to help you and deliver you, amen, and get you through that fiery trial, amen. See, the problem is many Christians fail to trust in the Lord when they need Him most, amen. A lot of times people, when they're going through something, instead of being in church, they stay out of church. That's the worst thing that you can do. You need to be in church even more. Amen. Because that's where, if you're in a good Bible-believing church, in a church that cares about their members that are going through difficult times and trials, will be a comfort and support to you and pray for you. You see, many Christians, they struggle for survival in their own strength. Amen. They think they're going to get through this through their own strength and power. They're going to be able to come up with a solution to what they're going through. And they resort to self-pity. They get down in the mouth and they throw a pity party. Amen. I mean, all of us are guilty of that at one time or the other, amen. You see, our finite strength is insufficient for today's needs. But God's infinite power is all sufficient, is it not? And we must rely on Him at all times. Notice, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and notice what we're reminded in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Trust. Here's that word trust over and over and over again in the scriptures. Trust in the Lord. How? With all thine heart. That's how we're to trust in the Lord, with all of our heart. Not part of it, not some of it, but all of it. See? Keep your focus totally on the Lord. Trust in Him. You can't have one eye on the Lord and one eye on your circumstance, because remember what happened to Peter as he came to Jesus walking on the water. He had one eye on the Lord and then he had another eye on his circumstances around him and he sunk. And that's what's going to happen to you and I. So we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, we shouldn't be leaning towards what we think we know or understand, or what we think how we can solve this get out of this trial we're going through. No, we need to be leaning, as the hymn says, on the everlasting arms. Amen. Trust with the Lord, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See? And it goes on, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He will get you out of that trial, that fiery trial. So then we say, the first way to overcome that fiery trial, my friend, is trust. Trust in the Lord. The second way to overcome the fiery trial, as we spell out the word trial, the second letter is R, is rejoice. Rejoice. Now, we go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, where we began today in our study. And I want us to notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 13, we read 12, which said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Listen to verse 13. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Rejoice. That's counter, isn't it, to the flesh and to what our thinking, we should rejoice when we're going through a fiery trial? That's what the Word of God says. Because when you're going through the fiery trial for suffering, you know, for Christ, you're partaking of His suffering. Amen? And as a result of partaking of His suffering, when He returns, amen, in His glory, amen, when His glory shall be revealed, when He returns for us, you're going to be glad that you did. Amen. You're going to be full of joy that you went through a fiery trial for living for the Lord. You know, the apostles, the early church, certainly went through fiery trials and persecutions. What was their attitude when they experienced all of this? Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and once you get to Acts chapter 5, I want us to look together at what the Word of God says in verse 41. Amen. Let's get the context, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Here we have the apostles. They're out preaching the name of Jesus. People were getting saved. Amen. But the religious crowd, the authority of the day, did not like it. So they were beaten physically. Amen. They didn't just get a little slap on the wrist. They were beaten. And they were told, they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and then they were let go. Now notice their attitude. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen? For His name. Remember the account when Paul and Silas, amen, they were cast into a Philippian jail and they were put in stocks. And remember, they sang and they praised God while they were there, amen. And as a result of that, the prison house shook, literally. And that Philippian jailer and his family got saved. Why? Because they rejoiced in their suffering. You see, when severely tested, some Christians fall into Satan's trap of discouragement or despondency. Few rejoice as they should. You see, my friends, Satan's stronghold is broken when Christians rejoice. They come forth as victors instead of victims. Looking in Romans chapter 8, in verse 37, what the words of Almighty God say. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him. Who's to Him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him that loved us. Amen and amen. So we see the second way to overcome the fiery trial is rejoice. The third way to overcome the fiery trial, in the next letter in the word trial, is inspire. Inspire. Look with me to Matthew chapter 5, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And once you get to chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 16 together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Notice, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, when trials strike, some Christians want to give up. Amen. They want to expire rather than inspire. See? Negative Christians are poor witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we must give a positive testimony and keep doing God's work during periods of testing. Amen? And when we see other Christians going through a trial that we've already gone through, we can be a testimony to them and inspire them and say, don't give up. I went through a similar thing, and the Lord got me through it. See? Sometimes God will put you through a trial just so you can help others. See, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. See? We can use that trial that we go through to help someone else. Others will be inspired and encouraged as we cheerfully carry on with our tasks for the Lord, even though we're going through a fiery trial and a difficult time. Psalm 121 with me. Let's turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, beginning in verse 1. Here the psalmist writes, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God never sleep. He knows what you and I are going through. Amen. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Praise the Lord for that. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. It gets pretty hot during that trial, does it not? The Lord provides the shade, a shelter under his wing, amen. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen? In this life and the next life, he will preserve your going out and your coming in. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Inspire others as you go through your trial. Let your light shine. Don't let that trial smother your light. Amen. Come forth. Amen. Inspire others. Be a blessing to others while you go through your trial, in your tribulation. Amen. Now, the fourth way to overcome the fiery trial, and the fourth letter in the word trial is A, is accept. Accept. So we see the night before Jesus is to be crucified. Amen. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. He's heavy burdened. He's about to partake of the Father's cup, which is not his death. Amen. It's God's wrath. The cup, the Father's cup, is God's wrath poured out on sin. Our Lord and Savior realizes when he's nailed to that cross the following day that the Father's going to forsake him because the Father is a holy God and cannot look upon sin. And at the very moment that God's wrath is being poured out on sin, all the sin of the world is put on Christ. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Jesus knows this is going to happen. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. And the words of God say, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." You see, in his most excruciating hour, Jesus yielded to his Father's will. We also must yield to the Father's will at all times in everything. See, sometimes when we go through that fiery trial, we try to fight God. We try to fight the circumstances. We try in our own strength and in our own power, try to resolve that thing or solve that thing or get through that thing. And what happens? We become spiritually and physically exhausted. Amen. Spiritually, we hit rock bottom. But if we go in the Lord's power, if we allow him to carry us, to accept what we are going through at the time, see, if we yield to his will, then we'll get through it. Amen. When we submit to God unreservedly, he takes the responsibility and lifts our burden. Apostle Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That's a promise you need to claim when you're going through that fiery trial. And you see, God's purpose for us going through that fiery trial, in his timing and in his way, will be revealed. There's a purpose. I know people, and it's even hard for myself when you're going through a trial, and people will quote Romans 8:28, and I want to quote it now. In Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for God to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." See? All things. The good things, the bad things. They all work out. It's all a puzzle. But God fits each piece either exactly the way in the position that he wants it to fit. But it's going to work out. That's what we forget. I know it's hard to focus on this verse, but this is a promise to claim when you're going through that tribulation, that fiery trial. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for your life and my life. Amen. And he's going to work it out for our good. Amen. If you love God, then he'll work it out. But you got to let him work it out. You can't fight him. The fifth and final way to overcome the fiery trial in our last letter in the word trial is L, is love. Is love. Or charity. We're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth. Amen. When love is lifted up, the giant forces of hatred, strife, and resentment come tumbling down. Perfect love, Apostle John says, casteth out fear. You see, my friends, there's no defense. There's no defense against love. In Matthew chapter 5, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 44. In Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Boy, in the flesh, that's pretty darn hard to do, isn't it? "Bless them that curse you." That's hard, too. "Do good to them that hate you." That's another difficult thing to do in the flesh. "And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." No, we can't do this in our power and strength and in the flesh. You have to do that in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer. Amen. There's no defense against this. See? When you refuse to strike back in resentment and hatred and anger and strife, and you refuse, see, it takes two to battle. See? That's how you can win that fiery trial. You can overcome it, my dear friends, with love. So, as we wrap things up today, we saw that you and I, as Christians, can quench the fiery trials in your life and my life by, first of all, placing your trust in the Lord. You know, perfect peace is given to them whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Number two, how do you quench that fiery trial? Rejoice. Rejoice over the fact that you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. You're going through it because you're living for Christ. The third way is to inspire. Inspire how? By continuing on for God when things get tough. Amen. You know, how tough is your faith? It's easy to be faithful when you're on the mountaintop, but boy, it's real tough to be faithful when you're in that valley. Amen. You know, don't fret, my friends. But as Christ did at the Garden of Gethsemane, he accepted the God's will for his life, and we need to do the same, accept God's will for our life. And then love. Love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, amen, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, had this to say to them. He said, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." You see, you can overcome the fiery trials with charity or love in action. Or as the Apostle Paul stated in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That concludes our study today on ways to quench the fiery trial.